There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, stand-up comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. That's the third time I had to do that.
Phew, yeah. You made it.
Well, you never know, it might be someone's first time listening, so you have to do all the, introduce ourselves and everything.
If it is your first time, hi.
Welcome new listeners.
Yeah, hello.
Maybe there are some.
How are we both, Jamie?
I'm good, I'm still really loving this series.
Yeah. I'm glad the weddings have come to an end.
Fizzled out.
As we said last week, though, it's not as many as I thought, and you do... Even though that was the case, I was still getting a bit of wedding fatigue by the time we got to...
You're ready for a dinner party, aren't you? Because you want to see a mingle.
Yeah, and it was worth the wait, I think, for the first dinner party. That was pretty dramatic.
Wow, it really was.
It could have been more dramatic, but there was enough to get us going.
There's drama brewing, isn't there, though, already.
Well, dinner parties, it could always be Martha throwing wine over Cyril, but... It's a rarity. I think for the first one, it was
big for the first one.
Yeah, there was a lot of. I love the series. I think they've made a few sort of production changes. Like they've got some new, like, more suspenseful music. The little violin bits.
Oh, yeah.
And they do that thing where it's quite cinematographic, where they zone in on somebody as if you're hearing what they're hearing. So there was a point where it was on Natalie and everything else was blurred out around her. Yeah. And you could just hear her own breathing. And it was like, bloody hell. they're definitely trying to play with our emotions.
Yeah, they are.
And they did that bit in the build-up to the dinner party about the explosive news story. Mm. They were all like loads of ringtones and message alerts.
Ding ding. Have you seen the news?
Are you ready yet?
All anyone in Sydney is talking about. Yeah.
And then who's Jack? Well, shall we start? Because I do want to get into the dinner party.
No.
Right. Oh, okay.
Because a quick story I want to tell you is that, and also reminder for everyone about the live show, is that Claire and I went to a stand-up comedy show on Friday. It was actually Kelly Rickard, friend of the show, former co-host, who was really good, excellent show, really enjoyed it. But while we were sat there waiting for her to come on, there were two girls next to us, and we heard them say Mel Schilling. So instantly our ears pricked up, why are they talking about Mel Schilling? I heard them going, oh, the podcast that goes along with it, they're doing this show at the stand. And we saw them bring it up on their phones.
Mad.
Yeah. And then they bought tickets.
That is, at gunpoint. No, do you know what? I'm not going to play this down. That is mad. It's you to be sat there and see you're just perving over someone's shoulder watching their phone
just
screen.
Eavesdropping somebody's conversation.
No, that's mad. That's absolutely mad. And I still think it's crazy because you already told me this story, but like I wanted to know if you then introduced yourselves and you didn't.
No.
I was really tempted to. I was like, my mouth was half open, ready to say something, and then I did. And it's odd because I'm, you know, I do stand-up comedy. Yeah. I'm relatively confident. And I thought it would have been a cool thing to say, oh, that's our show. But then I was suddenly a bit nervous. My heart was racing.
I know. Like, oh, should I? Because then they will know we've been eavesdropping. If we say, that's us.
Well, presumably they're going to be listening. So, hi, girls. Sorry about that. No, that's really cool.
Yeah,
we're so excited. And more tickets have been sold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was at least another two there. Yeah, just a reminder for everyone, if you are a first-time listener, we're doing a live show where we'll be watching that night's episode of Maths on a big screen, all get together, boo and cheer, and then once the episode's finished, we're doing a Q&A with Mel Schilling, the expert from the show, will be with us there in person. 11th of April, Thursday night, at the Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle, £15. You can go to their website for tickets.
Whee! Yeah. It's going to be great.
Right. Advertising done. let's get to the couples. Where are we starting then with the weddings?
It'd be nice weddings, to start with Richard and Andrea.
Yeah. They were first in the show.
I think they were.
As well.
It was also really lovely, wasn't it? Although, like him turning up in his... What did you think about him turning up in his motorbike?
It was good. I liked it.
Did you like it?
Why not?
I don't know. It felt slightly staged. Also,
The only thing
that pisses me off is a man, like maybe I'm being sexist, a man can just take off his motorbike helmet and he's ready to go in his wedding.
I know.
You wouldn't be able to do that with
There's
your hair
no
and
way
makeup.
You can't...
I mean, I know not all girls wear makeup, but you can't turn up on a motorbike with a helmet and then just walk down the aisle. The man was just like, oh, fine, ready.
I mean, you wouldn't even get on a motorbike in a wedding dress, really, would you? Not that you have to wear a wedding dress, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole entrance thing, I have seen people online, and I sort of get it. It didn't bug me particularly, but I feel like he is making too much of his age. For someone who goes on about, like, oh, what am I meant to look like? He does keep, you know, they keep playing on, like,
he really
how
wants
young
to prove
he
he's young at heart. Yeah. And he is, to be fair, he is young at heart, I guess, and he looks good for his age, but I know he's really trying to ride a motorbike. Did you see?
Yeah.
Did you see?
I'm young and cool, I promise.
He seems to have a really nice relationship with his daughter, and she seems to have a really nice relationship with her daughter, so that was quite nice to see. Because I guess we don't know loads about these people, we only know what they tell us.
Yes.
But to see like a healthy relationship, like they've lived together, it was quite sweet, like
the mirroring
on both sides, because they'd both been housemates with their parents, the daughters.
Mm. He'd been married for 28 years and 3 kids.
Yeah, wow.
And then the way he phrased it, it sounded like he decided to end that marriage.
I couldn't tell from the phrasing.
Well, he said, when I decided to.
Oh. Maybe it was quite obvious.
Yeah. But he said it was the hardest thing that he'd ever had to do. Mm. But then in his backstory, he came up with an interesting thing about he would sometimes lie about his age
on dating profiles.
Apps, which it doesn't seem right, that.
It doesn't. And then, because I wouldn't condone it, but then it sounded like every woman had an upper limit of 60 and weren't going to give him a chance. And he was like, I need to get in the door.
Yeah.
By saying I'm 59.
Yeah.
And then reveal my age quite quickly and be like, but you wouldn't be on this date. I mean, it's not great to start with a lie, but
no,
I guess.
No, it's only a year or two.
But then when they meet you, I suppose he's hoping that they'll be so won over by how he's surprisingly young.
Yeah.
That then they won't mind.
And the motorbike fumes will just say.
He loves a little scarf, doesn't he?
Oh, he loves. He loves like a sort of Eastern, maybe like Southeast Asian sort of batik print scarf.
Yeah.
Like, he wears these little, he drops these little, I don't know, little hints of that I'm well travelled and that like I'm young at heart.
He's a motivational speaker.
Yes.
Yeah,
did you see his flowchart?
With the yin-yang symbol.
Yes.
Everything came down to the yin-yang symbol. Yeah. I was like, what, my money bag?
And then he has that tattoo.
Does he?
It is a yin-yang symbol. Remember you spotted it when they were making lattes.
But in fairness, they seem like a really good match in terms of both quite free-spirited and young at heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she came down in that flowy boho dress. Yeah. And you could see that that was exactly what he probably would want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their styles were interestingly different, though, I thought, weren't they?
Different, but in terms of when they started talking, I mean, again, it's like good on paper. Are they going to be good in real life?
Yeah.
But, you know, the cricket and the coffee and the, like, loving the outdoors and being quite boho-y, yeah. They seemed like they fitted in that way. Yeah, because he was in, like, a sort of satin red jacket. But actually, his normal style is those drapey scarves.
True, yeah. But his side of the wedding party were all very, like, dark, black and white.
They were.
Her side were all, like, light, floaty, floral.
Yeah, it Sabrina the Teenage Witch on one side, and, like, Buffy on the other.
Oh, well, it's very yin and yang.
That's true, that's true.
There we go.
But it was really sweet because he said, she took my breath away, and she said, oh, he's really cute, because there was that initial... What I really love... Okay, so we're not discounting them as just being older and being... Like, they were still giggly, and they still found each other hot. So I've still got that interest in their attraction to each other. It's not like we've discounted them as being, like, the boring old couple.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm as invested in them, possibly more so, than some of the younger couples, and they genuinely had that giggly, loved up, wanting to, like, snog thing, which obviously is, like, a bit icky, but they just... It was really satisfying to watch.
Well, he said that they hadn't slept together on the first day, but, you know, they could wait at least another day. You know?
And then the producer said to her, did anything happen last night? She was like, just a kisses. Did anything happen this morning? And she's like, yeah, we shagged.
What do you think, though, of the... Because obviously the age is the crucial thing about their relationships, is in terms of them being different from the rest of the group. Still a, like, 10-year age gap.
I know.
11, maybe.
11. Yeah. She's 51.
It's quite a gap, that,
isn't
it? I
think that is a big gap.
It is a big gap, and there's that trope of, like, the silver fox, so I think he fits that for her. Even the fact he's called Richard, he was giving me, like, Richard Gere, you know, sort of like... I think she's perfectly happy, and he's happy, so I guess as long as they're...
Happy.
I don't think it's an age... Like, they've both got teenage kids or, like, early 20s kids or whatever it is. So I think they're, in terms of life stage, they're very well matched.
Mm-hmm.
So that age gap wouldn't really show, maybe.
Yeah, true. There's that thing...
Until she has to care for him in 5 years' time. 10 years' time.
What's the point where, like, an age gap stops sort of mattering? Is it, like, once you're over 30?
Or 25, maybe. When does your brain stops developing at, like, 26 or something?
25, 26.
So maybe once you're, like, fully developed cerebrally, you're allowed to go out whoever you want.
Yeah.
But then it matters in the opposite way the older you get, like you said.
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Well, because when she's 62, he'll be 73.
Yeah, he'll be...
That's
he'll
massive.
Be cognitive decline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he'll still be riding that bike.
Yeah. Bloody shouldn't be, though. They shouldn't be allowed after a certain point.
Do you know a part that I really, really loved was when they were dancing and she went, I don't like dancing.
No.
I like daggy dancing. And I know it was cringe, but it was actually really, really sweet.
He got into it, didn't he?
They both just showed... I don't know if I'm just being naive, but it felt like they were showing who they are, and they weren't trying to perform for TV, or they weren't trying to perform for each other. They were just sort of showing their true selves, which I think is coming. I think we're getting more of that with the older couples, of, like, they're not on here to promote themselves necessarily. They are here for a relationship.
They're not there to promote Why Not with Why Not podcast.
With Ben. So I feel like we get that a bit with Lucinda and Tim, and we're getting that with these two, where they are genuinely just trying to show their true selves.
Yeah.
The daggy dancing, I just thought that was really sweet.
It was cute.
A good thing about this show is, amongst all the drama, there are often serious topics, and I thought it was, I mean, literal example of someone who's been helped by maths, where she found
that
out,
was interesting,
she learned what gaslighting was, and it was like a light bulb that she realised, oh, I'm in a controlling relationship.
Yes.
And I was trying to piece together, because I thought that was amazing, I was trying to piece together the timeline. That's not the father of her kids, because she left him when they were children. So she said she left the father of the kids when they were young, and then this was like a couple of years ago. This was only like series 10 or nine or something.
Yeah.
So possibly like a long-term partner or I don't know if it was a husband. But it was fascinating, wasn't it? And like the impact of maths, like you can't play that down.
Yeah,
it's huge.
And she said they were to blame for the end of her relationship, so they had to find her a new one.
I know. Boy, I really hope Richard's going to be nice.
It seems a good point to throw in that we have a special episode featuring Mel and barrister Chris Keogh, where we talk about coercive control. That's in our that's in our feed of episodes on Apple and Spotify and everything. So if you want to check that out.
Imagine if rather than saying she saw a mash, she was like, and I was listening to Maths Hysteria special on coercive control. Yeah. And it was something Omar said. Yeah. That ended my relationship.
Oh, I can't wait for their live show on the 11th of April.
I'm going to be flying to Newcastle. Not Newcastle, Sydney. Newcastle, UK. No, I think that's really cool. And like, it does go to show that there's all that new terminology that is, it doesn't feel new anymore, but it's still only in its infancy.
Yes.
Like terms like gaslighting and ghosting, yeah, and all that sort of thing. We are still only 5 or 6 years into using it, or 10 years into using it.
Yeah,
in the grand scheme of things.
How many people, because to us, I remember a couple of years ago, I did a poll and there was like, which term are you sick of after this series of maths? It was the Harrison series. So it was only... Well, that's last year, wasn't it? It's only
last year.
People were sick of hearing the phrase the term gaslighting.
Yeah.
But although we're sick of it because we're watching the series and we're hearing it all the time and we're online hearing that, the number of people who even last night put under that post about Andrea making that realisation, saying I've never heard it before.
They said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so many people who.
Been watching maths for a while.
No, I mean, fair, but it's helpful, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
And it's obviously misused. So it's like we were talking about last week, where words like OCD becomes something that it's not.
Yeah.
And gaslighting, like the true terminology of gaslighting, is probably quite different to how we use it in a throwaway term. But it's still helpful.
Because last year, Harrison was using it to gaslight someone.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was
so
double whammy.
So they were all just using it against each other, like, no, you're gaslighting me. No, you're gaslighting me.
Double bluff.
Yeah.
How do we think they're going to do in amongst the group? I mean, we saw a little bit of Richard there at the dinner party.
He wasn't afraid to speak up, was he?
No.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's wise of him to do. I don't want him to get dragged. Like I did a tweet saying, I wish they could just leave now.
I know.
Yeah.
Just not even bother with any dinner parties or anything.
Well, when we had that little teaser that, you know, someone leaves the process, I did say to you, you know, it'd be good, interesting if it was them. Mm-hmm. Because it just felt like, well, why do we need it anymore? Why do we need it now? Let's just leave. Yeah. That would have been an interesting twist.
I do think the dinner parties become a more interesting thing when you have those older couples in, because they're not there to try and flirt with other people who are a lot younger than them. They're not there to try and stir potentially. So what is their place? Are they going to ground everybody, or are they going to feel quite other? How are we going to see like the group mix? It felt last night like they were all mixing in terms of discussing like Jack and asking how each other were doing.
Yeah.
Or like Tori, like some of the older couples were asking how Tori was. Yeah. It wasn't like they were sitting and just having a whole separate conversation.
Yeah, but I do think they will naturally gravitate towards each other, won't they?
I think they were
Cinder and Timothy and Richard and
Andrea. Well, they sat together.
I think they
were
like opposite, weren't they? So they're going to gravitate towards each other, aren't they? Naturally, I would have thought.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, probably.
I was trying to think who I'd sit with if I was in this.
Yeah,
like,
that's exactly.
I thought I'd want to be with Lucinda and Timothy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think it's
certainly wouldn't be Jack.
I only wanted to know what Andrea was meaning when she said playing with my plants. Any ideas? I mean, we have house plants. Do we play with them? I don't think we do.
Well, maybe you need to. There's a few that look like they need some attention.
I can imagine her like floaty dancing around them, just trying to like get them to grow,
getting the leaves.
Maybe that's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah.
It's nice to see supportive families. Like, the kids could have really held back and, like, rained on their parade and been like, I don't want a new dad. But they were, like, joking, like, you're my new stepdad.
Yeah.
And then the daughter, Richard's daughter, was really open to loving Andrea.
Yeah.
And Andrea's son and daughter were really open to loving Richard. They weren't looking for fault. And I think sometimes on this show, like, we've seen it with cousins, we've seen it with best friends, we've seen it with family, where they're looking for fault. And if you look for fault, you can find it. No one's perfect.
Yeah.
But I felt like those two families were so sold in. And I wonder if that does come with the age thing, because they're like, this could be my mum and dad's, like, last chapter of love. This could be their, like, happy ending.
Yeah. And the kids are all of an age where they're moving on.
Yeah.
So maybe they kind of appreciate it's time for mum and dad to...
Yeah. They might get the house to themselves.
Well.
Yeah.
An interesting contrast compared to the other wedding, where Lauren had no family And Jonathan had a stepsister who
stepsister.
Was bizarre level of attachment to what was going on. Yeah. I thought.
Leading us smoothly on to the next wedding. Yeah, I didn't spot.
Segway.
I didn't spot that Lauren didn't have any family. I'm wondering if there's going to be a story that comes out about why she is how she is. Oh no, she has a very like rebellious nature, a very like.
The only thing she said about her family was that mum and dad are still together and they're still holding hands.
Oh, that's
remember?
True. That's yeah. true.
So we know that.
I was wondering if she'd been in care. Or, I just yeah. there was something about her where she pushes people to test them.
Well, she said that, didn't she? I want to see what the boundary is in terms of yeah. what I can say.
Where's that
and
come
stuff
from?
Like that's kind of but interesting to do that, isn't
maybe
it?
Maybe we're reading too much because that's just having a like slightly offensive sense of humour, or not slightly, an offensive sense of humour. Like yeah. when she was saying, "I want you to challenge me. I want you to try and offend me." What oh, by telling no. some like. You know, offensive jokes, which I'm all in favour of. Yeah. I find stuff like that funny as well.
I think she
did say wasn't vulgar enough.
Yeah,
didn't she?
Yeah,
and I think she wants to be negged. I think yeah. she wants to be negged, and then she can prove. I don't know.
Well, she said she admits she loves the red flags.
Yeah,
like
such a stupid yeah. thing to say.
I know.
Do you know, one thing aside, I am loving as a wedding celebrant how they decorate some of these weddings. Those cactuses down the aisle for their wedding, and it was really cool.
Yeah, and they had the like bright green glasses.
Oh,
they were, like,
it's just gorgeous.
Oh, that's reminded me of Andrea making that little succulent
buttonhole.
Sweet.
I thought that was really, really sweet.
But that sort of, and again, related to the Richard and Andrea's wedding about the entrances.
Yeah.
I know she was chaotic and she was half an hour late getting up.
Lauren.
Mm-hmm. But, right, the limo not being able to get out of the hotel. The bouquet, fair enough, she forgot it. But you feel like somebody could have gone,
yeah,
don't forget your bouquet.
Yeah, they did that on purpose.
And the stairs, coming down the stairs, no handrail because there's plants all downside.
In sky high heels.
And knowing she was going to do it on her own. Production would have known she was going to do that on her own.
Yeah.
You've got nothing to hold on to. She's like,
I was
worried about her dress, worried about her bouquet. Everybody's looking at her. I thought that was a bit.
I also wonder about the timing sometimes of those things, because obviously she was being fake tanned and we were led to believe. It could have been 5 minutes before she was supposed to leave, but then the bridesmaid was sat in the wedding.
Exactly. She
the
was
bridesmaid
there.
Who fake tanned her, and I can't take credit for noticing this. It was Johnny going, well, that bridesmaid was just fake tanning her leg,
yeah.
and then she
yeah.
So obviously there's something happening with the timings. I mean, she still is fully chaotic.
Like she's fully chaotic. But I do feel they set her up for that narrative they? Very much so.
If it didn't fit with their story, they would have said, oh, grab your flowers.
Yeah.
But it fitted with their story, so they didn't say grab your flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they had you said this when it was Nat's wedding, and she kept stumbling and turned her ankle walking down that field.
Heels over head and head over heels. Bless her. Lauren's a funny one. I was fully expecting her to have like streaks of fake tan down that dress, but I don't know how she managed
that.
She's like supernatural.
Yeah. That would be orange, that dress.
Yeah, she does make a striking entrance, and I think he was instantly, like, physically attracted to her.
Yeah.
And then his entire side of the family was like, whoa, yeah. She seems like bad news.
I mean, especially compared to what his personality is like. Oh, I'm not dating for 2 years. I want to concentrate on my routine of
my
swimming.
Macro, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, honestly.
And then jujitsu in the evening.
Protein. Yeah. Yeah.
Meditation in the morning.
Yeah.
I know.
Me and his vows were like his, what did you say?
I said it's
GP.
Like, yeah, it's like a diet and lifestyle questionnaire you fill in for the GP.
Yeah. I mean, I like to get up early. I like to go for a run. It's like, oh my goodness. That not in your vows.
Well, that's the thing.
Find
people
out later.
People have been doing that this year, because we had one that sounded like LinkedIn, or we've had a couple that sound like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then like GP thing. And then I think it's almost like they don't know what to write, so they just sort of talk about themselves. But
yeah.
It's almost like you want to talk more about the promises you're making to somebody rather than just your general lifestyle.
By the time you get up in the morning.
Lawrence was about a lifestyle as well. She was like, I wrote this when I was half drunk.
Oh, I know.
So if you don't find me elbow deep in a Burger King or hanging out the back of a bottle of Shiraz, she's...
I think she's purposefully antagonistic.
Yeah.
I think she loves to rile people up. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, because obviously she adds to the show. And actually, by the end of the next episode, I quite liked her, because she was pushing people who needed pushing. But she's purposely like that. And there are people with that rebellious streak in them. We all have it a little bit. But she said that wanting everyone... You don't say you wrote your vows drunk unless you want people to react. Like, yeah, there's no reason. Yeah. She kept putting details in that would get her in trouble on purpose.
Yeah.
And she wanted to get in trouble. She wanted to rile him up, and she wanted their honeymoon to be more like fiery. Mm-hmm. She wanted him to turn around. I can't believe you fucking wrote these drunk. And then they could have this big fight and they'd make up. And but he was like, cool.
Yeah, she doesn't get that. She kept saying on the honeymoon, I want you to challenge me. But it's like, you are being challenged. You think that just having all the stuff you just described is the challenge. But it's not. The challenge is actually having some routine and not having to be provocative all the time.
Yeah, and he actually wasn't like wet in response. No. He was standing. He was like, "No, that's not what we're doing." He was being firm, but he was being like gently firm, which he's maybe not used to.
Yeah, I mean, he did say, "Don't look at me as I'm a pussy."
I know. but that's what I mean. He wasn't like just bowing down and rolling over.
True, and he wasn't like screaming and shouting.
No, he was just remaining quite calm and being like, "What game are we playing?"
Yeah.
I mean, other than shag, marry, kill.
Oh yeah,
which he didn't understand. She's like, "How old are you?"
Yeah, that wasn't actually on the
UK.
UK, I noticed that.
Was it not?
So the version we watched, we knew why he was going, "Oh, it's so hard. I don't know." But then on the UK one, all we saw was him going, "Oh, I don't know, it's really hard."
Yeah,
but we didn't know why he was saying that.
Because Lauren had asked him of her bridesmaids.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's so annoying. So basically, for the listeners, we've been watching the Monday and Tuesday ones on a link early so that we can talk about them in time to have it out today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Omar's like, "Don't reveal, don't lift the curtain."
I think people know the internet exists.
But that's post-Watershed. And annoyingly, E4 are doing maths pre-Watershed, so that you're not seeing 100% of it, which is really, really annoying.
I don't get it, because you would think if they put Maths Australia on at 9 o'clock as they do with the UK version, it'd get even more ratings, but and they wouldn't have to spend as much money making another reality show, like, you know, another Celebs Go Dating or whatever. But, you know, what do I know about it? But
also, 7:30 is early. Like,
it is, but it's also nice because when it's finished, I can just watch something else.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so Lauren and Jonathan, what was interesting was they then seemed a bit more couple-y when we came to the dinner party. It didn't seem like it had been a huge wedge.
What happened in between?
Yeah.
We didn't get to know that.
Yeah, I think was it just the tone of what he was saying of like, "Look, you've only known me a day, and the space, you know, 5 minutes, you've decided that I'm too nice for you."
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, a lot of people speculate, and once she gets into the group, will she be drawn to some of the other red flaggy type grooms? But she didn't seem to, like, from that first dinner party, she didn't seem impressed by stuff like that.
No.
Which is weird, because she's defensive on her friend's behalf.
Yeah.
What if it was herself?
Yeah, she'd love it. She'd be laughing it. Yeah. No, you're right. How fun is that?
Yeah.
How drunk were you at your wedding, Sarah?
I really wasn't very, because I think I just wanted to, I'm too sensible maybe. I maybe had a few Proseccos, but I wanted to enjoy the whole day and remember the whole day.
Right.
And I'd been to lots of weddings at that point. I think our wedding was maybe like my 30th wedding when I married Johnny.
And personally.
I'd been married 30 times. And I'd seen people get really drunk. And obviously it's fun in the moment, but then not remember the whole... You pay a lot of money for your wedding. You spend ages planning it. Maybe I'm too sensible, but I wanted to remember it.
No, that makes total sense. Like, I was careful. Not necessarily successfully.
I was literally just going to say,
Claire's face.
No, you were very drunk.
No, I remember.
Lauren levels drunk?
No. It was a good deal. I had a good time. I kind of wish I'd scaled it back a little bit, but we didn't even eat our evening food, did
street
we?
Food.
Street oh, food. No.
We missed our own street food.
Oh no. Going back to Lauren being antagonistic, when the sister sits with her and says, "Oh, so did you put much thought into this process, or did you just think, hell, I'll just do it?" She went, She doesn't give herself any credit. It feels like it's on purpose. It feels like she wants the sister to hate her.
Just everything's like, you know, provocative.
Very provocative.
When the sister sits down and she goes, "Oh, see, you've got the cross."
Jesus.
Jesus and cleavage.
I know, I did quite like that.
In between those beautiful pair of tits.
I know. But the sister didn't even have a revealing dress on. It was a really weird comment. Like, there was the crucifix, but there wasn't actually any cleavage.
No.
And the sister looked so... I mean, I almost felt for the sister because she was then playing the character of like dour, like angry. Yeah, yeah. Every time I looked across, she was like grimacing.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. There's quite a slit in that dress.
I know.
Which is very
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with her.
Mm. Well, do you think they're going to make its final vows?
I very much doubt it, but I wonder if she has a softer side that they're going to try and encourage. You know, like when we get to the commitment ceremonies and they get time with the experts.
Yes.
I'm just curious what is underneath for her.
Yeah.
And why is she on the show? Did she literally just think, oh, fuck it, I'll apply, like she said to the sister-in-law, the stepsister? Or is she here for a bigger reason?
Well, there are moments with her where what she says makes sense. She's aware that she's attracted to red flag guys. She knows that she needs someone stable. It's one thing saying that and then actually making changes.
Yeah.
But then when Jonathan has said to her, I wanted to call him Timothy for some reason as well, like the third Timothy. He's more of a Timothy than Lucinda and Timothy. I forgot my point now.
I mean, even the fact that he goes by Jonathan rather than Jono or Johnny,
yeah,
is very like him. Like,
but quite a few people called him Jono.
Did they?
I think the sister did, and Lauren has started to as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe just for the show.
Jonathan.
Oh, they kept talking about the one he let get away.
Oh, that was so weird.
That was so weird.
Raker? Jono's Raker.
Jono's Raker.
But known in his friendship group. I mean, that's
literally
weird,
the one that got away that he said, I should have married. Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay,
and
where is she? Is she
still talk about that?
Is she available?
Like, is she going to rock up halfway through this process?
Yeah, are you still madly in love with her? Yeah, that was weird.
Were people saying the way the stepsister was reacting, they'd missed a bit or something, and they thought that was Raker.
I mean, yeah, she was quite
invited to the wedding.
I don't know if possessive is the right word, but certainly like involved. Mm-hmm. But then there's always, you wonder what the producers say, because there's always a family member who goes and has the chat.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if you were at one of these weddings, a producer might say, oh, do you mind going and having a chat and just checking if they're...
Check their intentions.
Yeah, you can just imagine somebody has to for those conversations. Yeah. Like, we're no fools on this show. Except me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right then, before we get to the first dinner party, we saw more of Natalie and Collins's honeymoon, which is relevant given what happened at the dinner party. Mm-hmm. Is fishing romantic?
Well, I think it would have been more romantic than going and standing in the desert without any shade.
As a pale person.
Do you remember when we were in Cyprus and we went to that ruins thing, and there was no shade and it is
dangerous.
Just
well, the fact the producers had to intervene.
Yeah.
Because I don't imagine they intervene a lot and they were like, we need to get some shade. Like they thought it was a life or death situation.
It practically was.
Well,
I think fishing could have actually been more romantic.
Well, I want to say, like, we have the same
skin colour.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Collins.
Yeah.
On holiday,
you've had to educate me about the dangers of
the
getting
sun.
Burned in the sun, because it's just like, it's not a big deal for me.
Yeah. Just didn't even
I don't.
That
no, but he lives in Australia, so he must already.
Well, that's
you know, it's different from me living from the north of England.
To give him credit, he agreed not to go fishing.
Yes.
And he was trying to compromise. It obviously wasn't what she wanted to do, and so it wasn't enough. I feel like these two have missed out on not having some sort of, like, intermediary with them the entire time to translate his... good day! Yeah. Great day! And her, like, quietly sad... Yeah. Closing in on herself. They haven't communicated enough. No. And so it's just dissolved in. It's like putting a bath bomb in a bath. It's just disappeared. There's nothing left.
I feel Collins, we're going to come to Collins more about stuff he said at the dinner party. But I think she's come into it with such high expectations.
She said
on the wedding day, I think I've met the man of my dreams, and she was totally oblivious to how he was acting, what he was saying. He had that chat, she was in tears about that. She's been upset every day because I think her expectations
were very high,
unrealistically high.
Yeah.
And his expectations were just sort of non-existent because he's never been in a relationship and he didn't know what this process was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll come to what he said at the dinner party, it was just so funny. But she, yeah, and but to be fair to her, when they said their vows at the wedding, they had so much in common that I could see how you get carried away. Like, you apply for the process, the producers probably really big, and the experts probably really big up and say, we have found your ideal match. We have found your husband. And so you go in with high expectations. Yeah. He's got so much in common with you. You give him the necklace and then he just doesn't give you anything back. And I can't work out his personality.
I know, he's so confusing.
And I don't want to say, like, oh, is he on the spectrum? Because I don't know what it is where he can't seem to explain how he's feeling at any point.
No.
He just giggles.
Yeah.
And he doesn't pick up on what other people are feeling either. Like, in the back of that 4x4 or whatever they were.
He was taking selfies.
He's like in doing videos or I don't know, whatever, Instagram lives or something.
Yeah.
And she's just like in the corner, like totally crying practically. And he's just oblivious to the whole thing.
I would guess he doesn't have any sisters. And I would guess he doesn't.
He does have a sister.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she was gorgeous.
She was married.
As well.
Just got married.
Because I feel like he lacks the ability to read women. Obviously, women sometimes, we go quiet. We want to be asked, how are you feeling? So we play a few games.
Say fine.
Yeah, fine. Then we want to be asked twice and maybe three times. But she went, like you say, she went quiet in the back of the pickup. And he didn't, I mean, he's had moments where you see him try, like not go fishing. Or say, like, I'm not quite feeling...
Or act as a creator of shade.
I know.
Standing.
That does not work.
I honestly wanted them to have a translator there just to help each other understand each other because they might have had a fighting chance.
Yeah. But the other thing as well, do you feel like they were sort of a bit set up too? Because part of her complaint was, we haven't done anything romantic. And when you see the other couples on honeymoon, aren't they all doing romantic things? They're all having these romantic meals or they're going out for, like, I don't know, whatever they
do. Theirs was a bit more outpacking, wasn't it?
Yeah. And their options were fishing or, like, a desert.
I know.
So I feel like that wasn't really that helpful for them.
Even when they came out of their accommodation, it looked like camping. It looked like sort of...
She was out collecting rocks.
Yeah, I know.
That's right, yeah.
Before the sun came up, before she got burned.
A bit I loved was when they were having one of those fruitless conversations trying to get Colin to talk about his feelings. And he was just going... Yeah, it's such a great time. There's a lot of energy. Oh my God, that chicken is terrifying me.
I know. I mean, I love him. He's hilarious. But he doesn't realise how funny he is.
Yeah.
I've never known anybody like him. There's a lot of people on this series that I've never seen anybody else like.
Mm-hmm.
They're just their own person. And Collins is one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what woman he'd suit. And I'm not sure what would bring him out of his giggly... sort of, is it a front or is it just who he is?
I don't know if it's a front. I think it's just, I don't know if he's worldly, like, at all. And I think he just expects things to happen the way he has seen them happen on the TV.
Right. Mm.
So I think he thinks he's meant to, in this situation, this is how I react.
Yeah.
Which is what was going to come to what I mentioned earlier, like the... At the end, when they've decided to leave, and he's more upset about missing out on the dinner parties and stuff, but he's also, like, you know, forcing these tears. I don't even know if he cried a tear then.
Yeah, that was so interesting.
And then my favourite part was when he went, oh no, have I got to go back to work tomorrow? I was like, are you serious?
He goes, but I cancelled everything.
I know.
Okay.
But at no point do we see him ask her to stay.
No, I know.
At no point do we see him fight for it. I think she could have been persuaded to stay.
I think so.
Yeah. I think she wanted a romantic outburst of emotion from him, or even just a polite, I'll try.
Yeah.
He didn't even try.
Yeah.
She just said, I'm leaving. He was like, oh, really? It's only night one. Oh, have I got to go back to work?
Yeah. There was just no connection, was there, from his side, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I think once she'd felt there was no connection and decided,
yeah,
that was that, wasn't it? But I do think she could have been persuaded to stay a bit longer.
I do. And I think the way it was edited, I felt for her because we saw her look around the table, everyone was holding hands. Everybody was much more coupling than I thought they'd be.
Yeah.
I saw Lucinda and Timothy kiss.
Oh.
Did you see that? They were just panning around the room.
Well, I didn't see that, but actually you mentioned, because we must have seen a bit of their honeymoon at the beginning of that same episode.
Yeah, they were playing pool.
Yeah, you pointed out.
And he kind of pulled her in.
Yeah, it was much more flirty.
Like, whoa, okay.
I guess we'll come on to them, but so they panned around the room and it was people I wasn't expecting to be coupley, so like Lauren having her arm around Jonathan, who I thought weren't getting on.
Yeah.
Lucinda and Timothy kissed each other and I was like, well, I thought they were very like non-sexual at the moment. And then just everybody seeming to be quite touchy-feely.
Yeah.
And then Natalie looking so alone. I wanted to give her a hug.
I know.
Because what had happened was she had checked out at that point and she just thought, I'm flogging a dead horse.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing to save here. But he needed to show her that there maybe was, but maybe there wasn't. Maybe he had nothing to prove.
Maybe he wouldn't have. If they would have stayed, I think they both would have learned. Well, Collins would have learned something.
Yeah.
I don't know if Natalie would have. It would have been a waste of her time.
No,
probably.
But she could have learned something of, like, don't have your expectations so high.
Yeah.
Could you learn something from this relationship to take? It's just such a shame. Like, I don't understand how you can spend so long applying. You finally get on a series.
Yeah.
You go through all the interviews and then you leave on night one. Like,
yeah.
On both their sides. He didn't fight for it and she gave up so.
Yeah.
She was emotional. She made an emotional decision, basically, rather than like a pragmatic, maybe let's get to the first commitment ceremony.
Get
let's
some
see
advice.
Because if I was her, I'd want to see what he said for himself on the couch.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity of hearing him defend his, like, giggly, not trying at all vibe.
And especially, when we saw the sort of audition-y type bits where John's talking to him, he pins him down on, like, you've not answered my question there. You've just talked around it.
So hopefully he would have actually been pushed, because we haven't heard. It's unsatisfied. I basically feel really unsatisfied because Collins has now left the show and we haven't heard him say anything concrete about how he feels, whether he could have ever fancied her.
Yeah.
Whether he wants to be in a relationship. Maybe he's just not ever. Maybe he doesn't want a relationship
But he thinks he should want one.
Yeah. So. Is he here just because he thinks he should at the age he's at? Or?
This is it. He doesn't know. He doesn't know how to answer. Like, I edited together a little reel of all the times he said, "What a day."
I saw it.
And in doing that bit, I had to look back at an old episode, and there's a bit where he's saying, and her energy is bigger than mine, and does the energy just keep going up and up and up and up, or does it not? And my answer to that is, and it was silence. He just didn't know what to say.
Yeah. What is it about him? I don't want to say he's just like simple, because I think there's probably more to him. But like,
I think you're thinking of Tim.
Yeah. Is it that he's confronted by there being cameras? I honestly don't know, but I feel unsatisfied because we now can't find out.
Mm-hmm.
And we now can't find out. I just wanted to at least see them get to the first commitment ceremony and see the experts ask him, like, why are you here? What do you think of Natalie? And if he even gave her, like, a crumb, I think she would have taken it and gone, right, we can build on this crumb you've given me of, like, attraction or interest or curiosity. Like, did he ask her any questions about herself? And I did not like him. I thought he was hilarious. I thought he was really, really sweet. But he wasn't ready for a marriage.
No.
Definitely. He wasn't even ready for a first date.
Yeah. Do you think they'll bring Natalie back in a future series? They've done it a couple of times before.
Ooh. That would be interesting.
Yeah, if she got a 2-for-1 on those necklaces and she's got another one in the, she's got another one in the drawer. I don't know. It'd be nice to see her come back, because I feel sorry for her. Like, your time is... But then she chose to leave on the first dinner party, so I do hold her responsible slightly for giving up so quick. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Her expectations,
I think they should have stayed in longer.
Yeah, they should have done. Her expectations were too high, and then once they weren't met, she sort of down tools as well, really.
Yeah.
Which I can understand, but it wasn't. Probably
I think she
the
was
decision.
Saving face slightly as well, yeah. because she could feel that he didn't fancy her, and she was like, "I'm just going to cut and run."
Yeah. Which, if you've done, get worse.
Yeah, and like, if you're in the dating scene and you've done loads, maybe you're speaking from experience of like, it's better just to leave now, forgetting that this is a slightly different experiment. Like,
yeah.
can you build on nothing? yeah. You've got nothing. Where can you go from there? Ba-ding, ba-ding, you've got a text. Ba-ding, ba-ding.
Have you read the article?
Have you seen the news?
yeah, the way they did, they introduced all that with, like, oh, there's a groom. There's a groom who's been doing... And then when it panned around, it was Jack. It was like, fucking shock.
Never. I can't believe it was that groom.
He was working overseas.
Honestly.
Overseas, and did they go to Fiji? No?
yeah, Fiji, yeah. That's
I've got
right.
to go and work in America for 3 months. I mean, he's so embarrassingly... predictable,
yeah.
like to label the ex-girlfriend as crazy.
Oh,
predictable.
Man, yeah.
She rocks up at his work. What's he meant to do?
Twice. She did.
Then
he tried. He tried to end it, and she wasn't having it.
He said from the beginning it was casual.
Do you know what the wording that got me? It wasn't long term on my side. What, so it was long term on her side in her head. Meeting your parents, meeting her parents, like talking about living together. Being he was like exclusive but not serious.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You can't. You can choose which words work for you.
And then also said immediately after that, I would deem it a relationship.
Yeah. Such a fucking liar. Gaslighter.
Yeah.
And then Tori's eating it up. Like,
she really didn't have much to say about it, did she?
Because this is it. I've been waiting for a while to hear... Well, I guess that episode.
Yeah.
So like, is Tori going to say... I don't think she said anything for the whole duration of the episode until the very end.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of when Harrison used to get Bronte?
Yeah.
On side and almost make her do his dirty work of protecting him or defending him.
Yeah.
And when we saw... I didn't really like this... I'm reading into it because I don't like Jack, but when we saw them in the cab coming to the dinner party and his hand was across on her...
Right.
Holding her hand or sort of on her lap.
Oh.
It felt contrived because I don't think... He said to camera before to us that he doesn't fancy her.
Yeah.
And then I felt like because he'd had this bad press, he was then trying to keep her sweet.
Mm.
And he was holding her hand in the cab like, we are going to arrive as a united front. This is not a question, I'm telling you. We're arriving as a united front. You're going to defend me. I feel like that was unsaid.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm massively reading into it, but it felt like that sort of behaviour.
Mm. It's interesting that you bring up Harrison because it's almost identical
well,
to
it is, isn't
Harrison
it? Yeah.
having a girl on the outside. The difference is that after Jack gave his little speech about what had gone on with this ex... is that then he gave, I nearly called her Bronte, he gave Tori some credit by saying, the emotional intelligence on this girl.
That was awful.
It's so
manipulative.
It's
really manipulative.
But that's what I mean about contrived and like trying
yeah.
to keep her on side, like giving her little scraps of like, you've done, well done, good girl,
yeah.
you've defended me, you get a point.
Yeah, but she's not actually being emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
She's following what he's saying.
Yeah.
So by him then saying, you're so emotionally intelligent, she then believes that what she's doing is because she's emotionally intelligent. And actually she's ignoring our emotions about it.
I was
so
jumping,
manipulative.
Awful. I was then jumping ahead in my head of like, how is he going to play the, you know, the photo ranking challenge?
Right.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, is he going to have... negged her by saying she's not attractive enough, then got her on side by saying you're emotionally intelligent, thanks for supporting me in that like drama, but then neg her again by not putting her first and just keep playing with this girl and keep
like a
cat with a toy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he's gonna do something again to just keep her in her place.
Yeah,
it's just horrible.
Awful.
But that's me just predicting he might not. He might be really nice about it, but
he might put her at the top when he doesn't actually mean.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
not what he actually feels.
Some sort of game.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny at the table when him and Jaden, like Jack, had told his boring story about putting on weight on the honeymoon.
5 kilos.
And then waiting for the reaction, he didn't get one, and then he went, "But I've lost it all again."
Yeah.
Jaden was like, that was a bit boring. And then Jack was not expecting Jaden to be the one to drop him in it.
Exactly.
I wonder though, you know, I wonder again with the editing about it, I wonder if Jaden's thing was, everyone knows about it, Jack knows we know about it, let's give him the floor to sort of discuss it. It might not have been a combative thing, it might have been like, Look, we all know about it. Let's give him a chance.
It didn't feel like that. No, you might okay. You might be right. I felt like Jaden was dropping him in it, and it was quite funny, but I don't know. It felt like, because if it was edited and we saw Jack's pure reaction, Jack's reaction looked a bit like disgruntled and red in the face.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, mate, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, he kept saying, if anyone questions my integrity or whatever, it's like, well, I mean, Richard did. He said you lied to her. You said you were going working abroad.
Who's Jack? Oh, it's just,
Man bun versus man bun.
I know. Battle of the man buns. Yeah, that was really good. And then what Jack did was he said everything and nothing. He just kept going around in circles.
There was so much detail. What, we don't need this detail.
And
it
also...
It was like unnecessary, like... I can't remember it now.
But it was also trying to distract us. Yeah. So when he said about, I'm too much of a gentleman to elaborate, but she's got a colourful past.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that has got nothing to do with this. You are just trying to distract us from your misbehaviour.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it comes back to that thing of like, even if it wasn't a super serious relationship, although it sounds like it was, why are people applying for maths if they're already in a relationship?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't...
Well, The thing is, he said to one of the pieces to camera, oh, shock, I had a relationship in my past. Yeah, they all had relationships in their past. They all had relationships, but no one's stories are being sold and this and that because they are relationships in the past, not something from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then when he's asked something more specific, he suddenly goes... I'm hot.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, I just have to leave and not answer this very specific question.
Which I think was about Tori.
Yes.
When he did that, it was a question about Tori and what she thought or how she felt or, have they had that discussion?
That's right.
Like. So one thing I did find satisfying is even though we as the viewer are like, Jack is talking shit, I think the group were on our side and saw through him.
Yeah.
And their only sort of concern was like, is Tori okay? How does Tori feel? But none of them were really believing what he was selling.
Yeah,
Lauren and Tori are particularly close. Like, she was... Everyone get out of my way.
Running at her. I know. And then I didn't love Lauren. I mean, she was just pure chaos. She was like Tasmanian devil rolling into the wedding. I didn't love her. And then actually I was really warming to her in the dinner party. She became that voice of reason that we need, that character who speaks up. And she was giving me Melinda vibes from last season, where Melinda at her wedding was like, oh, I need a rich guy. I need this, I need that. And I didn't warm to her, but then when we got her in the dinner party scenario setting, she was calling out Harrison constantly, and it was almost like she was the voice of the public.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether Lauren will be like that, where she was like, yawn, get to the point. And like, I don't know if it was all to camera or some of it was to their faces, I can't remember now, but it felt like she might be the voice. She might speak up for the people, for the public.
I think some of the stronger stuff was to camera, but there were definitely bits of like, you better look after my girl and all that sort to Jack.
But even, and she did whisper to Jono, didn't she? He's so full of shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, she did.
Jack was saying like, Lauren's got a big personality. I'm going to say obnoxious.
he's just such a sexist. And I think even when it's stuff people are only saying to camera, it's still really satisfying because you think, oh, I'm not going mad. That is what was happening.
Surely they can see it as well.
Yeah, if they can see it, thank God, because that's what we see. And so Jaden, I mean, I wasn't sure about Collins's crying, but even Jaden's saying to camera, like, where is that weird fake crying coming from? And I think Lauren said the same. So there is that vibe of like, we're not going mad, they're seeing what we're seeing. And I think I'm going to warm to Lauren. I think she's going to be one of those characters who like, you tire of her, and then suddenly she pulls out a gem and you're like, yes, Lauren. Do you know what I mean? That character.
I'm still kind of undecided because I didn't dislike her as much as I liked Melinda after her wedding. And she is chaotic and everything, which is not, not necessarily a bad thing. Definitely makes for good TV.
Yeah. climbing over that fence to get her own bouquet in a split dress. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. Your fake tan's still drying.
were Cassandra and Tristan at the dinner party?
They definitely were.
Actually, do you know what? That's an interesting point on that you didn't make, but I'm going to make.
Thank you.
No, I'm just thinking about how people came into the dinner party. In the cab, Collins and Natalie, he almost said to her, like, right, you need to smile or something, didn't he? You need to look happy. They walked in holding hands, enough to fool the experts, because the experts were like, oh, they'd come in looking happy. Yeah. And then when they...
Just immediately split.
Well, no, because then they went out privately and had that conversation behind closed doors. And he was like, you've bad-mouthed our honeymoon.
I felt like
we were seeing a glimpse of a not nice guy there, like just a glimpse, and I don't know whether it was him just not expressing himself very well, but I was like, oh, he's almost trying to control the narrative.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Because it's so interesting how we see them come into the dinner party and pretty much everybody was holding hands, pretty much everyone looked happy, and that's the first time the experts were led to believe, I assume, first time the experts are seeing them, and they're like, oh, those two are getting on well, we know they're not, or we know they are.
Yeah. Well, the experts said, didn't they? Everyone, it's all quite nice at the moment. Yeah. Everyone seems to be getting on. And they had a note of scepticism in there.
I know, which is what made me think of Tristan and Cassandra, because they came in perfectly happy.
Yes.
And I think he called her darling or honey or something, quite sweet. And the experts pulled it up. But they're, oh, did you hear he called her darling? And like, we do see when someone pours their partner a drink or has their hand on the small of their back or just looks up for them in the room, you can spot that. You can spot the fake and the real attention being paid. And I'm still working on... No, I can't do it. Shall we practice our entrance? I can't do it. I was doing a really good impression at home and now I've lost it. She's just so good. And I feel like her and Timothy... We haven't really spoken about her and Timothy. No. Lucinda and Timothy. They seem to be really warming to each other. And you mentioned briefly when they were playing pool.
Yeah.
He was being a little bit more flirty. And when they were sat talking about the highs and lows, and she said one of the lows had been the honesty box. And then he was like, he said something nice about, but I'm really warming to your smile and your eyes and your...
I missed that.
Where were you?
I don't I remember that bit because she said something about going to an animal sanctuary was a high.
Yeah.
We didn't see that.
I think that's it. You were more upset we didn't see the animal sanctuary.
I wanted to see that. But then I can't remember what he said. I think he must have been caught up in the animals.
I know what he said. I've remembered. Yay, my brain. He said his highlight was her.
It was really
sweet, and he pulled back a little bit from crushing her like body and soul the previous episode. And she said, oh, my highlight was the animal sanctuary. and he said his highlight was her, and he said your warmth, and he's like, you're yourself all the time, and your warm smile and your eyes. And I liked that there was also some physical compliments in there, because obviously being told you're not sexually attractive is a bit of a kicker. And then he was warming to a smile, and then we saw them like tiny bit flirtatious at the pool, tiny bit flirtatious at the dinner party, and it's given me a lantern of hope for me. Timothy. I hold a lantern of hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
One in each hand.
Yeah, and they were colour coordinated at the dinner party.
Oh, you were saying this. You thought everyone was coordinated.
Yeah, everyone was quite colour coordinated. It's like, oh, maybe this is a thing this year then.
I love the outfits.
What we're
going to
do this year, every dinner party.
Who are we really stanning out of the couples?
Well, Lucinda and Timothy.
Lucinda and Timothy, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'd be sad if Tristan... I think Tristan and Cassandra have the danger of being a bit boring because they're so sweet.
Yes.
But I'd be gutted if they didn't work out, so hopefully them. I don't massively care about Sarah and Tim.
I was just going to say
they're getting on, but...
I was going to let this run and see if either of you even remembered Ben and Ellie.
Ben and Ellie. They've had no screen time.
No. Were they even at the dinner party? Well, there must have been.
They were in a separate room with Cassandra and Tristan.
My heart...
Were they co-ord in any way? I don't remember their outfits.
My heart just fell. We'll have all the intruders. I always forget we'll have loads more couples coming in. Well, and Michael and his potential beau.
Well, I wonder if they'll... Oh, no, I was going to say, I wonder if they'll have... Well, they will have them as intruders because they've not started from the beginning.
Yeah.
But will it be them and the pre-planned intruders?
I don't know.
God knows how many.
I stagger all these weddings throughout the series.
I don't know if this is a coincidence or it's me ripening in age myself, but the two older couples are probably my favourite out of interest to see how they do.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it's a shame that... Another reason it's a shame that Collins and Natalie have gone is because although they're younger, they're a different type of couple, just their personality. So it's a shame just from that point of view.
It's really annoying. I'm annoyed about them going because we feel like you're robbed of, like, you get to know these couples and then they're gone so soon, and I had quite a lot invested in them.
It's interesting, but wouldn't you think that the experts might choose to intervene?
You're not allowed to leave.
Like, they've left the dinner party, but could they, like, you know, because they have done it, actually, haven't they? Like,
oh, maybe they'll...
them afterwards maybe they'll said, be at the you know, let's, let's try this, whatever, you know.
But it's one of those where, I think what you said earlier is right, is that Natalie's already sort of committed to leaving, and Colin isn't putting up much of a fight.
Didn't ask her to stay. He was more bothered about going back to work.
Yeah. So, coming up, we saw little previews of Confessions weekend photo.
Well, Sarah hasn't, because Sarah's
go on then.
A shocking confession, which, you know, they're going to say every year because that's the nature of a confession, isn't it?
I've just remembered something that I forgot from the little preview.
Yeah, well, we will tell
you. Our mate, Jack.
Oh, no, Jack.
Is there?
Yeah. And is that the same episode as the photo ranking? Or having
I think
two
sort of those two episodes are sort of blended together, yeah. I think.
Okay.
This professional, this deeply professional podcast where we hash out what we think might be happening today or tomorrow.
Is it even on tonight?
Yeah, I'm definitely most invested in Lucinda and Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And then who else?
What about Jaden?
Yeah, Jaden.
Like?
Definitely.
Jaden was looking all very Johnny Castle at the dinner party, wasn't he?
Who's Johnny Castle?
Oh, sorry.
I might know him. Tell me.
With Dirty Dancing.
Oh,
Patrick
yeah.
Swayze.
I didn't know his surname.
Oh, how can you not know it's just Johnny Castle?
Johnny and Baby.
It doesn't come with it. You have to use his full name.
Sorry.
It's one of those.
It's not like Kylie. No. Right, okay.
But in his little shorts,
he's
black.
He's got a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, that was nice.
I am invested in them.
I'm curious with Lauren and Jonathan. Just to see how they develop. Not just her, because I want to see what happens with him as well.
Yeah.
Because he's such a rigid character.
Yeah, although for him to be so open to her being quite wild at the wedding, he's clearly not that rigid. Like, he's obviously inviting a bit of drama into his life.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't like, oh, hell, who have I been put with? Yeah. He was very open.
Yeah.
And so I think it's almost like next to her, he looks rigid, but actually he's quite ordinarily open and normal. Maybe he just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
he
was open to her, and he was...
Yeah,
he drinks on the weekends.
I was just going to say
he eats chocolate on the weekend. Drinking.
Yeah, no.
They would seem to be drinking quite a bit on
honeymoon. He didn't mind
well,
the old French kissing at the wedding.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
PDA.
Is this when it starts to go downhill? The next, like, you know, we see them all get set up, and you have so many hopes, and then they get dashed, and you remember why maths is so painful.
Yeah.
I think the tone of Friday's episode. Our episode will be very different.
Oh,
I don't think we'll be as...
after
so
the
many,
photo ranking task.
So many nice people this year. Bunch of idiots. Yeah. Probably.
Well, we'll look forward to talking to you about all the disappointment and heartbreak. Until then, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
Oh, Jesus, that chicken is terrifying.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.